Holy Spirit, come now into the very words I speak. Holy Spirit, come into my very heart. Renew me, restore me. Cleanse me, O Lord, of all of the thoughts I've had and the paths I've taken, O Lord, as I've come before this, your people. And you, O Lord, enter into me anew and allow the very words I speak, the very moves I make, the very actions I take, be those of you, O God. I come as your humble servant, offering a word on your behalf for each one gathered here today and for myself as well. So, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come. Amen. The text that we come to you with this morning, that God has placed on my heart to share with you, we're going to center on just one little piece of the story. And that portion of the story is when Jesus speaks to his mother and he says these words, "My hour has not come yet. My hour has not come yet." I don't know if there's been a time in your life when you were able to say, "My hour has not come." I don't know if there's been a part in your journey where you've had to stop and take a pause and go, "I'm not ready." But in this text, that is what we hear Jesus is saying to his mother. "My hour has not come yet." This story, in the story around Cana and the wedding feast, also harkens me back to the story that I've read and that I've heard about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. You see, we know about the March on Montgomery. We know about the Washington March to D.C. We know about the grand speeches that he's made when he's come to Chicago and given a speech. We know about him going to Detroit. We know the big stories. We know the large stories. But do we know the first story? Do we know that moment when Dr. Martin Luther King was really saying, "My hour has not come yet"? As I was sharing with the children this morning, that Dr. King was just like all of us sitting here in worship this day. He was a young child growing up in a Baptist home with a Baptist father for a preacher. So you know he went to church. We know that. I don't read anywhere that he sang in the choir, but we know he went to church. And Martin grew up in this understanding that God, that Christ was his rock and redeemer. And in that sense of training, he would grow up to understand that this love of God required and desired of him to do more than just be a pew sitter. I said something now. It required us to be more than just attendees at the church. There was more to just coming and saying, "I love the Lord. He heard my cry and he pitied every groan." You had to do something with that thing. There was a call in his journey as he continued to work into his ministry. Did he know what it was yet? I would say no. And we all know that he would be called, he would be co-pastor with his dad at his church at Ebenezer, but then he would be called to a little church in Dexter Baptist Church. It was in that moment when he was called to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church that the Southern Christian leadership was beginning to look for someone to lead them. Someone to take them to a level that they've never been to before. And the story is told that a group of folks went to Dr. King. And they said to Dr. King, would you come and be a part of us? Would you come and lead us? And while I'm not told that Dr. King said these words, my hour has not come yet, Martin, the understanding is he was not ready and he was hesitant to take this on. There was a moment when he just wasn't sure that he was the right man for the job. Have you ever felt like you weren't the right person, the right choice for the situation? Have you ever felt a little bit inadequate, a little bit like I don't know what I don't know because I don't know it anyway? Have you ever felt like you just don't know that you could be someone that could stand up for what is right in the world because, well, nobody's going to listen to you? He might have thought he was too young. After all, growing up in the black church tradition, we all know elders and then the young folks. Elders and then the young folks. So this call to leadership for this young man at 30-something years old was not something he was prepared for, nor did he expect. And yet, what did he do? Martin, as the story goes, would pray. He would go to God. He would have consultation. He would talk to them. The story goes that he would go and he would talk to his father. His father in heaven and his father on earth. And he would use that consultation to help him decide that, well, maybe I don't think my hour has come. But somebody else sees something I don't see. Somebody else knows something that I don't know. And so Martin, after some thought and some trepidation and some concern and some worry, because he knew what the road ahead would bring. He knew that his life would never be the same. He knew that being a black man standing up for justice was going to bring trouble in his home, was going to bring trouble in his church, was going to bring trouble in the community. He was going to have to look behind, to the side, in the front, and up top, because he never knew where it would come from. He knew that saying yes was not going to be easy. It was not going to be a cakewalk down the road. And yet, Martin would say to those who had come to him after some prayer and some study and some reflection and after talking with his God and talking with his earthly father and sitting down with his wife, look out now. You know, men, we can't do this alone without our partner. Women, we can't do it alone without our partner. You just can't run this race all by yourself. You can't do it. And in this case, Martin sat down and had a conversation. And he and his wife went into this thing together, knowing the road would not always be smooth, knowing that they'd have some mountains to climb, some valleys that they would go into, knowing that people would talk about them as sure as they born. People would walk away from them and be afraid of them. People would push them out front so they could take the bricks and they could take the stones because they didn't want to get hurt. But indeed, Martin's hour had indeed come. It would be from that position that we would come to know the Martin that we celebrate today, the one that we give honor to today, because he would, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of what went wrong, he would still stand on God's unchanging word. He would still stand on the fact that love conquers all, that there was no hate to be found in his journey. Oh, yeah, there would be some trials and tribulations, but he would stand on God's word even until death. Jesus, as John tells us in the text, this is the first sign. And matter of fact, it's interesting because John is the only one that tells us this story. And John makes it known to us that this is the first sign of Jesus. Luke, Matthew, and Mark don't tell us this story about the wedding feast at Cana. And I'm glad somebody told it. I'm glad that somebody put it in the books so we can look at it today. For Jesus and his disciples, the story says, were invited to a wedding. And as they came to the wedding ran out of wine. Oh, I'm telling you, in the days of Jesus, you ran out of wine, there was going to be some problems. You had a wedding and ain't no wine? Look out now. The host knew that we had trouble in the road because there was no wine left. And Jesus' mother says to her son, son, they ain't got no wine. They ain't got no wine. She didn't say necessarily make some wine. She said, they out of wine. And what does Jesus say? Like any young child would say, Mama Donna, I don't know. It ain't my time. In essence, it wasn't his time to do his father's work. And yet, it was his time. And yet, it was his call. And yet it was a moment for him to begin to take the mantle for which he had been sent to earth in the beginning in the first place to do. So he says to his mother, Miss Peggy, he says, my hour has not come. And what does Mama do? What does Mama do? Mama says, do whatever he says. She didn't say he wouldn't do it. She didn't say he couldn't do it. Mama didn't play. Mama just said, do whatever he says. And I got to tell you, just spending time with my mama the other day, I know how Jesus felt. Trust me, because I was with my mama the other day, and she asked me to go take her to the store, and I'm like, I don't really want to go to the store. And sure enough, we went to the store. Jesus, in that moment, from that moment on, Jesus would take the mantle for which he was sent to earth to begin with in the first place. From that moment, Jesus would begin to do the very works of God, his Father, on earth as they are in heaven from that moment. He did not know that the time, because sometimes you know how it is. I'm going to tell you right now. Our time is not God's time. Our time is not God's time. But God is never late. He's always on time. He'll be there when you need him. May not be there when you want him, but he'll be there when you need him. And in this particular case, when Jesus turns the water into wine, that was the crossover moment, as it was for Martin on that day at Dexter Avenue, sitting in prayer in his home, when he would accept the mantle plate to lead a people who were hurt, a people who were disparaged, a people who were not respected, a people who were kicked to the curb, a people who were buked and scorned, a people who were not loved, a people who were not cared for. He didn't just stand up for black people. He stood up for all of God's people, just as Jesus would do. It wasn't some white or black, gay or straight. It was all of God's people. And so I know you're probably saying, well, Michael, that's great. What does that have to do with me sitting in the pews today? What does that have to do with me who've been here and I don't know what that means for me? Well, let me tell you, since I know you're asking. I know you're thinking the same question. What does it have to do with me? Because guess what? The hour for you has come. The hour for you to live as God desired you to live is now. Not next week, not next month, not next year. When you look at the world in which we live, the hour for us to stand up for justice and peace and love is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. The time for us to live out the creed for which we are called as followers of Jesus Christ, as believers in God, as acceptors of the Holy Spirit, is to put our foot forward and let God do the rest. The hour for us has come. Look at the political environment in which we live. We're getting ready to elect the mayor right now. And good Lord, have mercy. Help us, Jesus. We're living in a community where we have folks who've been furloughed because the government can't get its act together. And folks are looking for food and shelter. Not just the regular poor folk, but even the poor folk that had a job. Ain't got one now because the government is shut down. It's time, my friends, for you and me to live out what Jesus called us to do, to be the beloved community. That means that I will love you no matter what. There's nothing you can say, nothing you can do that I will not love you. There is nothing, Margaret, that I will not do for you. I may not have a dime in my pocket. I may not have anything else but just me. But I'm going to come and I'm going to sit with you and I'm going to stand for what is right by you. If you've been mistreated, buked, or scorned, I'm going to take a few loads of punches too. Let me get hit with the brick. Let me get thrown down and pushed over. But I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to sit with you on the bus. I'm going to ride with you in the nighttime hour. I'm going to be with you when you need God's unchanging hand. I will not forsake you. It is that moment. The hour for you and me is now. It is called for you and me to live out what Jesus inspired in Martin. It's the same word he's inspiring in us. It ain't changed. God's word has not changed. The call for you and me to live out God's love, God's compassion, God's love for all of humanity, irrelevant of age, sex, irrelevant of color. It doesn't matter whether they got money in the bank or they poor as the day is long. It doesn't matter. It is a call for you and I to do what is right because God ordained it in our lives. Martin did that. And yes, sometimes you may not know when the hour is. Sometimes you may not know that you're being called to step out of what you used to do and do something different. Sometimes you don't know. But you know what? You will. Because God always offers you what you need. When Martin didn't know that it was his time, the leaders of the SCLU came to him and said, Southern Christian Leadership came to him and said, we need you. When it was time for Jesus to stand up and to pour it out and to begin to do his work and to begin to not just create wine, but to save lives, his mother came to him and said, they had a wine. This was not about wine, my brothers and sisters. This was never about the wine. This was about how do you live out your creed and your call as a people of God? How do we? Our hour has come. Our community needs us. Our church needs us. The wider world needs us. We need to stand up and be counted for what we see and allow God's love to be expressed through us to somebody who needs it. For indeed, I know the world is not what Martin would have desired it to be at this juncture in our time. But you and I, our hour to make a change has come. May God bless you.